and bow down before you. Because Jesus, you are worthy of it all. And I pray that our hearts, we would exalt you in this moment, and we would give you our all. And remember to do that on a continuous basis as we seek you out. Jesus, we just pray that in this moment you fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in your blessed name. Amen. All right, kids, I got a different bag this time. This is going to be a little harder. I think it's a little harder. Try not to open the bag, please. So don't cheat. What's in the bag?
Touch it.
What's in there? It's a stoppy. And it's not Knuckles. Stop it with the it's Knuckles thing. There's a bone in there. No, it's not a bone. Let other people through. Watch out. Let other people through. Let other people try. Let others have a try. A blanket. Oh, that's a good guess. Anyone else have a guess? There is a bag there. That is correct. All right. Anyone want to touch it here? Who hasn't touched it? You've touched it a bunch. You punched it, actually. A poppy, well, the poppy's right there, but no. Today it's oven mitts. Oh my goodness. Oven mitts. That's just silliness. Maybe I'll go bake something afterwards. That'd be bad news, though. Well, why do I pack up? Well, what do we put in oven mitts? What goes in the oven mitt? A hand goes in there, right? Did you know that hands, they're pretty neat. What do you guys think of your hands? You like your hands? They're pretty cool. We do a lot with them. We pick things up. They help us eat. They help me write. I'm sure they help you write in school sometimes too. They're good for so many things. We use our hands to communicate, wave hello, or give the thumbs up, something like that. In the Bible, hands symbolize strength. They symbolize creativity, healing, and acts of service. Understanding the importance of hands in the Bible can deepen a person's appreciation of these things that we probably don't think of very much. These hands. In loving Jesus, we're told to realize that our actions demonstrate to others the love that God has and the purposes that God has for us in our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 reads, "So I want the men in every place to pray. I want them to lift up holy hands. I don't want them to be angry when they pray. I don't want them to argue." Acts chapter 6, verse 5 to 6 reads, "This plan pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen. He was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, and Permanus were chosen too. The group also chose Nicholas from Antioch. He had accepted the Jewish faith. The group brought them to the apostles, and the apostles prayed and placed their hands on them." So hands are important. And in our story today, we have this interesting moment with the hand as well. Let's read about God giving Daniel wisdom. After King Nebuchadnezzar died, Belshazzar became king. He held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. At the feast, Belshazzar sent for the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. Then the king and his guests drank wine from them and praised their false gods. At that very moment, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and began writing on the wall of the king's palace. The king was so terrified that his face turned pale, his legs shook, and his knees knocked together. The king called for his wise men and said, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain hung around his neck, and be made the third highest official in the kingdom." But no one could tell him what the writing meant. Then the queen said to him, "Don't be terrified. There is a man who can explain this. Call for Daniel, and he'll tell you what this means." So Daniel was brought before the king. The king offered Daniel the same rich rewards if he could tell them what the writing meant. But Daniel said, "You may keep your gifts, but I will read this and tell you what it means. The Most High God gave power, greatness and glory to Nebuchadnezzar. All peoples were terrified of him. But when he started to think he was better than God, his throne and his glory were taken from him. He was driven away from people and became like an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and was fed grass like cattle until he confessed that God is ruler over all. But you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. You have raised yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You have praised false gods and drunk wine from the Lord's vessels. So God sent this message to you. Meeni, meeni, tekel, parson. Meeni means that God has decided your kingdom will end. Tekel means that you have been judged and found wanting. And parson means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That very night, Belshazzar was killed, and Darius the Mede became king in his place. The Christ Connection reads, God used Daniel's wisdom to get the king's attention about his idols. The king exalted himself by thinking he was better than God. God promised to humble the king. An idol is anything you love more than God, including yourself. Jesus came to destroy our idols and help us love God like we should. All right, kids. You can head on downstairs, go to Sunday school, have fun, learn lots, be kind. Be nice to your teachers and learn. And now's the time that we pray as a church family. And one thing I do want to remind us of this week is that it is a Remembrance Day coming up. So we want to pray for the thankfulness that we do have as a country and the freedom that we do have to gather here and worship. As we know, there are countries out there that it is not an option to do so. And you could be killed just for going to church or expressing your faith. And so we remember that. We remember the sacrifice of those brave men and women that went to those battle fronts and fought some of those difficult wars, especially the great wars back in the day. Anyone else have anything that we could pray for at this time? Yes, please. Thank for Jillian and Heidi. Yes. We'll pray for her for sure. All right. Well, let's take these things to our Heavenly Father today. We just are ready to aid us. Lord Jesus, today we do come to you. We bow down. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we're just singing as a church family how we exalt you. And so I just pray that that is the reflection of our heart in this moment. That we would direct our attention towards you. You would fill us with your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we thank you for what you give us. And right now we do cry out for some help in this life as some things just overwhelm us, and you've told us to bring us your burdens, and so we lay those burdens down at your feet. We pray for Jillian and Heidi. Oh, Lord, we love them dearly. And we know that you love them even more than we do. We just pray that your hand guides them, that the Holy Spirit would interact with them and bring them back. There's so much pain in Gillian's life, and so we just pray that you begin chipping away at that wounding that she has. Lord, we thank you so much for Gillian and Heidi, and we just pray your care over them, Lord, as our word comes to everything. Lord, we want to pray as well for Josiah's friend who had the table saw incident, and we just pray for healing in them of three fingers, and that in doing so it would bring glory to your name, Jesus. And we pray that this could be an opportunity to share about who you are with this friend, Lord. And we just pray for wisdom for Josiah in sharing and loving in this person over the next little bit as they heal from those three lost fingers. We just pray that whatever grafting happened there takes hold and there's healing. Lord, we pray that in your name. Lord, we pray for Kyle in dealing with his neighbor lady friend and just being able to be there to help strengthen her as she lost her husband last December. The pain that she's got to be going through, and this is going to be one of those first year markings that is going to always wound her severely coming up in December, just the loss of her husband. So we just pray that you give the Moses wisdom and be in a comforting place for her to go to. Give them the energy as well to help deal with the cows and some of the farm around there, as Kyle and Kyla already have a lot to deal with, but we just pray for even more energy to help out and assist in the best way that they can. So we thank you for that. And Lord, on this week that we're coming up to here, we just pray that we remember those that have sacrificed their lives. We remember the willingness that the young men and women went to as they went to war. It's such an ugly situation. So we just pray for those families that have lost loved ones and altercations and such, and we still have wars going on today. We desire peace, Lord, your peace. So we just pray for them. And we're reminded of the ultimate sacrifice as well in this son, and we thank you for that. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. So to start this morning, I kind of want to share just a personal story, and I don't know if it's going to villainize me or what. It could change the way that you look upon me. It's just a humbling one of being a parent. But in that sense of being a parent that has expectations that we have on things versus being grateful and blessed with what we do have. This is not a story that I'm interested in people coming towards me afterwards and consoling me or reassuring me or telling me I did a bad job or a good job. It's one that I hope will serve as an illustration for today's Bible passage and maybe something all of us can learn from. So some 10 years ago, I was made a father for the first time. And for those of you who are near, it occurred in some rather strange circumstances. We had already lost one in our previous attempt. And Isaiah, I'm sure you've seen him running around here. He was born at 23 weeks of gestation. Now, when he arrived, he was all of 1 pound and 8 ounces, and he would drop even lower, just like normal babies do. He was really tiny. Now, there are pictures of us as a family all gathered around this incubator and such, and one of those first pictures that I have is of me, Isaiah, and Michelle, and I was in this Blue Jays jersey, which was almost stolen last week, and Isaiah, he was in an Avalanche jersey. Now, as some of you may know, I am big into sports, and one of my first thoughts of this time, and even up until quite recently, just a couple weeks ago, was Isaiah's going to be this fantastic athlete, and we're going to bond over sports. It's going to be our big father-son thing that we're always going to have. I had expectations of Isaiah in sports, especially when it comes to hockey. Our family, it's really huge into hockey. I coached football for 10 years. And then Isaiah, just last year, was recently diagnosed as autistic. And in that moment, I selfishly mourned for myself. And that growing up into sports wasn't going to be a thing for him. It wasn't going to be a thing for me. And this unfair expectation I had allowed to permeate my soul, and it affected me in ways that I cannot even describe today. And sadly, it was just this last week that my eyes were opened to this black mark that had been on my soul. I got an email which said that Isaiah had won this award in baseball. It was for his passion for the game, as he uplifted those around him, including his coach. He brought about a desire for this whole team to love the sport of baseball. And the Holy Spirit came over me in that moment and simply said, be grateful that this boy has life. Be grateful that he is impacting those around him with his life. We as a church, we have reasons to be glad. As a church, we have reasons to be grateful. And sometimes we take things for granted, and we just need a simple reminder of these things. Because far too often we allow expectation of what we think church should be overtake the blessing and goodness of what we have and are as well. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. We're going to read that. We read it last week, but I want to continue on down this road. And starting in verse 3, we read, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. In his letter to the church in Colossae, Paul has his standard greeting, and he follows it up with an intercessory prayer for Colossae. And there are two aspects that stand out in his prayer. First, Paul, he praises God for their salvation, which we just read. And he doesn't stop there, though. As number two, he continues to pray for their sanctification, that the Holy Spirit would do a work in their life as he brings about vitality and he brings about vibrance, that he would bring them closer to Jesus and purify them. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 reads, that's why we have not stopped praying for you. We've been praying for you since the day we heard about you. We keep asking God to fill you with the knowledge of what he wants. We pray he will give you the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Then you will be able to lead a life that is worthy of the Lord. We pray that you will please him in every way. So we want you to bear fruit in every good thing you do. We pray that you will grow to know God better. We want you to be very strong in keeping with his glorious power. We want you to be patient. We pray that you will never give up. We want you to give thanks with joy to the Father. He has made you fit to have what he will give to all his holy people. You will all receive a share in the kingdom of light. He has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Because of what the Son has done, we have been set free. Because of him, all of our sins have been forgiven. So Paul, he presents a dual purpose here. As his purpose is to instruct and be informative to the church, which includes us. And what we have before us is actually an example on how we are to pray for the church, for how we're to pray for one another and for others outside of the church as well. Just look at Paul describe his prayer and the frequency of his prayer for the church in Colossae. In verse 3, Paul says, when we pray for you. Okay. Maybe that's just in the moments that they accidentally cross the minds of Paul and Timothy, right? That's pretty vague in a sense. Only the verse 3, it starts in a way that it would imply that Paul and Timothy are constantly praying for the church in Colossae. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. This means Paul and Timothy and maybe others, they had this regular pattern of praying for the church in Colossae, and their prayer included thanksgiving. And so I always try to remember that when I pray, because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, we read, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Give thanks to him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the focus of Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae is the one that Paul directs his gratitude towards. It is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the wording here is kind of important as it establishes this baseline for the Christology of the letter in its entirety. Paul directs thanksgiving to God the Father. Now, I know that Glenn recently shared about this, but I want to come alongside his excellent message and remind us to be a church that is grateful in light of everything. You know, it's kind of scary at times. And you can allow it to overwhelm yourself. Or you can turn towards God and be thankful for what we have. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always give thanks to God the Father through Christ. Paul is praying this for the church in Colossae, all while asserting the lordship of Jesus Christ, who reveals the Father. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 reads, the Son is the exact likeness of God, who can't be seen. The Son is first, and he is over all creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 reads, God was pleased to have his whole nature living in Christ. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's prayer for this church is quite remarkable, as it informs our understanding of redemption, and it provokes our feelings of gratitude toward God. Being thankful and the concept of thanksgiving is that consistent theme that is found throughout the letter of the church in Colossae. It is mentioned numerous times and is found at least once in every chapter to be thankful. Be grateful. Paul, in his prayer, which is an expression of thanksgiving, reminded the church in Colossae, and by extension it reminds us of multiple reasons that we as followers of Jesus have to be grateful. And should be good. The greatest reason that Paul writes about regarding gratitude is the testimony that the church has, that each individual has, of our faith in Jesus Christ. Look again at Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. We thank him because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus. We have also heard that you love all God's people. It is this profound statement where Jesus Christ is the sole object of their saving faith. And on top of that, their faith, it abides and operates within the sphere of Jesus Christ's lordship. Now, Paul will go into a bit more depth on this matter later in his letter to Colossae, as Paul encourages them to remain grounded and steadfast in their faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 reads, but you must keep your faith steady and firm. You must not move away from the hope the good news holds out to you. This is the good news that you heard. It has been preached to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, now serve the good news. Paul was thankful for his saving faith in Christ, and that the faith of the church in Colossae was continuing to operate as a living and active faith under the reign of King Jesus. This is pretty remarkable. Because Paul actually hears about their vitality and their vibrancy in their faith. It was this result of a beautiful testimony being carried to Paul, who was a great distance from them. And he is so grateful for having heard that. Can you imagine being a church that is so filled with joy, so filled with gratitude, so filled with thanksgiving, so filled by his Holy Spirit, that word of mouth spreads the testimony hours away? You hear about it all the way down in southern Alberta. As the church demonstrates how full of the Spirit of the living God that is reigning in it is. Well, that should be all of God's churches. And I pray that this is our desire, that we would be the church on the hill, shining its light brightly, that we proclaim God's word, and that this place, we see it as holy ground where we carry out his work and love others in his name as a Spirit-filled church. Because we are like the church in Colossae. They had received the word of truth, the gospel message, just as we have. And they trusted exclusively in the person and work of Jesus for their salvation. It's a life changer. Jesus transforms lives. Trusting Jesus exclusively is a mindset that we all need to have. Clearly, I didn't have that when it came to my own son. This gift of Jesus is something that has freely been given to us, and it is so great, and yet far too often we simply take his gift and we place it in the closets of our heart where it gets covered in dust and it gets forgotten. And Paul, he would simply encourage us to see the gift for what it is. That we need to direct praise and thanksgiving to God for the beautiful gift that he has given us. Our salvation. We need to rejoice at the gift of salvation through faith, giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for this gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 reads, "Let us give thanks to God for his gift. It is so great that no one can tell how wonderful it really is." So Paul's prayer encourages us to maintain a vibrant faith that continues to live for Jesus in submission to his lordship. And the church in Colossae, they were successfully carrying this out. As the saving faith of Jesus Christ was clearly on display in that church, Paul writes they had love for all the saints. In that phrase, Paul uses the Greek word agape in order to identify the sacrificial love of the Colossians that reflected the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. They were transformed by his Holy Spirit, by the love of Jesus Christ, and they directed their newfound love towards others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 11 reads, "Here is what love is. It is not that we love God, it is that he loved us and sent his Son to give his life to pay for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us this much, we should also love one another." And they lived this out in their lives. And Paul, he was so overjoyed by their ability to do so, as they genuinely loved others. Paul, he highlights the indiscriminate nature of their love, as their love was for all, and in particular, their love was for the saints, for others in the church. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 reads, "So when we can do good to everyone, let us do it. Let's try even harder to do good to the family of believers." Love for others is the evidence that a heart is redeemed. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 reads, we know that we have left our dead way of life and we have entered into a new life. We know this because we love one another. Anyone who doesn't love still lives in their old condition. This is the distinguishing mark of all the followers of Jesus Christ. John chapter 13, 34 to 35 reads, I give you a new command, love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you. If you love one another, everyone will know you are my disciples. So if we ever find ourselves struggling with others in the church, we ever struggle with unity, hopefully we take a moment to read what God's word says. Hopefully we reflect on our own hearts and our own actions. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 says, put up with one another. Forgive one another if you're holding something against someone. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And over all these good things, put on love. Love holds them all together perfectly as if they were one. We can come with personal expectations of others in the church. We can come with personal expectations of the church. Even of worship things that happen up here. And unfortunately, we do this far too often. When really we need to be showing up in anticipation of worshiping God. Of seeing His Holy Spirit work in our lives. And we need to have a heart that is glad and genuinely grateful for one another, for the church, and for worshiping together. Our sincere affection that we share for one another should emanate from the undeserved love that we have freely received from Jesus Christ. It is His love that unites us. It is His Holy Spirit that unites us. And He provides us with strength and support in all that we need. And so Paul, he is thankful for the church's sacrificial devotion. And today we too should give thanks for the sincere love that we share as members of God's family. It is unfortunate that woundings do occur within a church family, because they do. And I think some have occurred in this church. I don't think maliciously or on purpose, but it has. This church, we've seen a fair amount of turnover from pastors and from people attending. And this perception can build up in churches like ours, in that some mistakenly begin to see this church as nothing but a stepping stone to something greatly, supposedly greater. And some have bought into this lie. And they created this soul wounding where this church, I want you to know that Mirror Lake Community Alliance Church, we are not a stepping stone to something greater. This church is a reason to be glad. It is something to be grateful for, and it is something to be viewed as a place where we come together, where we praise Jesus, where we speak His truth, where we work for His benefit, and we seek out His Holy Spirit as we build upon the foundation that is Jesus Christ. We are worthy and a reason to be glad and grateful. So for those who believe in Jesus Christ, the faith and love that we demonstrate is a product of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So we need to remember that hope is to be a part of our spiritual journey. As Paul explains this to the Colossians, that faith and love were their byproducts of their hope. Hope is the source for their abiding faith and their active love. Hope in the letter to the church in Colossae is referring to the objective reality of that which is reserved for us in heaven by God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 reads, He has given us new birth so that we might share in what belongs to Him. This is a gift that cannot be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you. Through faith, you are kept safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days. And this has all been revealed to us in the gospel. And Jesus Christ is the personification of His hope. He is the hope of glory, and He abides in us, resides in heaven. And He will one day reveal our hope when He appears again. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 reads, that's how we should live as we wait for the blessed hope God has given us. We are waiting for Jesus Christ to appear in his glory. He is our great God and Savior. And faith and love will be something that Paul will flesh out in his letter to Colossae. He will exhort it and present practical implications. And Paul uses his letter to remind of the church, to remind us of the infinite significance of our hope as the foundational anchor for our souls. The author of Hebrews in chapter 6 writes this in verse 19 to 20. Our hope is certain. It is something for the soul to hold on to. It is strong and secure. It goes all the way into the most holy room behind the curtain. That is where Jesus has gone. He went there to open the way ahead of us. He has become a high priest forever like Melchizedek. Through this hope, God supplies joy and peace to us as we trust in him. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 reads, may the God who gives hope fill you with great joy. May you have perfect peace as you trust in him. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 reads, and hope will never bring us shame. That's because God's love has been poured into our hearts. This happened through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Because of hope, substance, and certainty, we can live with confidence and contentment as we give thanks for our secure hope in Jesus Christ. And so Paul, he sums up the gratitude for the church as he unites three amazing virtues: faith, love, and hope. These three qualities, they're not temporary like gifts and abilities. They're motivation and the means for our work, our labor, and our perseverance in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 reads, the three most important things to have are faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of them is love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we remember you when we pray to our God and Father. Your work is produced by your faith. Your service is the result of your love. Your strength to continue comes from your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They unite us as we devote ourselves to drawing near to Jesus and to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 24 reads, so let us come near to God with a sincere heart. Let us come near boldly because of our faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from a sense of guilt. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The God who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another do good works. All of these help guide us in the countless reasons to be grateful as a church family and to come alongside one another and love one another. Paul, he begins by greeting this church with joy, and he enthusiastically points to the irrevocable status as member of God's beloved family, just as we still have today. And Paul reminds us of blessings, of privileges and responsibilities that we each have. His prayer assures us that we in the church today are recipients of God's glorious truths. We have reasons to be glad. We have reasons to be grateful. So we must be glad and be grateful. In the start of his letter, it's not an accident that the entire Trinity is present: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As it reminds us of their fellowship that God intends for us to share as members of his family. The interpersonal harmony of the Godhead, along with its functional unity, models the intimate bond and spiritual benefits that we share as God's people. Our adoption by the Father should provoke us to praise him with gladness. Our redemption by the Son should motivate us to follow him with gratitude. And our conversion by the Holy Spirit should empower us to obey him and share this joyous news with those around us. As members of God's family, we have everything we need and more. because membership does have its purpose. Join me with that. Lord Jesus, today we come to you and we joyously exalt your name. We sing your praises as a church family, and today I pray that you open the eyes of our heart, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. You would give us great joy. You would give us great gratitude for all that you do for us. May we be like a church like Colossae, no, not in their mistaken understandings of Jesus, but in their spirit and enthusiasm for getting deeper and deeper and knowing who you are, Jesus. May we come together as a church family like that, cast away any sort of soul woundings that we have. Lord, we just pray that you heal us today. Unite us as a church. And bring us great reasons to be glad and grateful. And so we pray this all in your name.
Let's stand together and close the service with a song. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on turns back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Well, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Just a quick reminder that we'll meet upstairs for those who count offering in Kelsey's office immediately following the church service. And also there's a worship meeting as well upstairs. Feel free to join in on that. Maybe you're curious about wanting to join in or whatever it happens to be. Talk to Miss Carla, and she's not there that I pointed to, but she'll be upstairs. Join us up there if singing's your thing. Come on Tuesday nights too. It is fun times here. We pray, we sing, and it's awesome. Join in on this Tuesday. We're still going as we love to pray even on holidays and stuff. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is a great reminder, especially talking about gratefulness and just having this heart that needs to exude joy. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Fantastic reminder for us.